Tonight, after nearly 2 weeks of play, the Women's World Junior Squash Championships will conclude with the team finals. Only a Game's Doug Trabu has been covering the tournament.
Quick, think of three things you associate with Egypt. Okay, what'd you come up with? Pyramids, the Sphinx, maybe King Tut or the Nile River? Here's one you probably missed, the sport of squash. The squash players gathered at the Murr Center in Harvard University's athletic complex in Boston were originally supposed to meet in Cairo. There are 79 players representing 19 nations in this year's Women's World Junior Squash Championship, an 11-day event featuring both the annual individual and biannual team championships. The World Squash Federation moved the event to the U.S. after the Egyptian Revolution began on January 25th. Steve Cubbins runs SquashSite, the world's leading squash website. Although unrest in Cairo affected squash events in Egypt throughout the spring, Cubbins says things are returning to normal, and the city is still one of the sport's strongest hubs.
2 years ago, I went to Cairo for a junior event, and I was amazed that we had a tournament like this that ran six courts, 9 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Matches finished. We were all relieved. Then hundreds of kids just came in and started playing until midnight. That's the thing. They're just mad about it.
World Squash Federation Chief Executive Andrew Shelley says the women's game has grown dramatically in Egypt and around the globe.
If you went back 15 years and before, England, Australia, New Zealand, that was it. Obviously a smattering of other players, but that was it. The world number one now is Malaysian. We have very strong players from France, from Netherlands, from Hong Kong.
Squash, tennis, and racquetball are cousins. But as U.S. junior women's coach Jack Wyan explains, there are a number of differences.
The squash ball does not bounce nearly as much as the racquetball. So even though our court is slightly smaller than a racquetball court, you tend to have to cover more of the court. So it's a physically very grueling sport.
Harvard's Murr Center includes a row of five courts with bleachers behind them. The courts don't have ceilings, and the back walls are tempered glass to allow for easy viewing. The Women's World Junior Championship is for players under the age of 19, but this year's field includes some of the best female squash players of any age. The Women's International Squash Players Association ranks five of the teens here among the top 40 players in the world. One of them is 18-year-old Amanda Sobey. The Seacliff, New York resident, ranked 21st overall, is this event's defending champ. She only started playing about 5 years ago.
I was playing tennis at the time, but I'd always end up being at squash tournaments, so I'd just pick up a racket and hit a ball. And people said, wow, you're pretty good for just not playing at all. And so I started playing squash and tennis in between, but since the swings are different, it was I couldn't play both, so my dad told me either become really good at tennis or become really good at squash, and I chose squash.
Squash runs deep in the Sobey family. Her parents met at a tournament her mother was running. Sobey's father, Khaled, is originally from Egypt and was a top junior player and a member of the national team there. Amanda's older brother is a collegiate player, and her younger sister, Sabrina, is also on the U.S. women's junior team.
Can you beat your dad?
That happened a long time ago.
Was he surprised when you beat him, or did he know it was coming?
He knew it was coming. Now he's just trying to keep the reins on my little sister.
Amanda will soon be a familiar face on the courts at Harvard. She'll be a student here this fall. Despite her family ties to Egypt, Sobey was glad to see the tournament moved to the U.S.
I've been to Egypt pretty much every summer since I was seven, so I know that there'll be tons and tons of Egyptians there rooting for the Egyptians. So it was nice that we were able to get it to the U.S. because now there's going to be tons and tons of Americans cheering for us. But it's a shame that it had to be moved because of what happened in Egypt.
Amir Waghi has been the Egyptian national coach for 12 years and has guided male and female teams and players to 18 world titles. Waghi says he was glad the tournament was relocated.
I think outside of Egypt is much better for me because it's out of the pressure, because if it's in Egypt, also it's big pressure on you, so it's good we play in U.S. this year.
Organizers have already announced the men's and women's junior championships will both be held in Cairo in 2012. This year's tournament has attracted teams from traditional squash strongholds like England, Germany, and France. But teams from countries where the sport is still developing are here too. Keisha Jeffrey plays for the South American nation of Guyana.
I'm 18 years old, and I've been playing squash since I was about 7 years old. But where I'm from, squash isn't that big. We have, like, about 3 courts in the whole country, so, yeah.
So it's a little tough to get a game?
It's a little tough to get anything out of squash in Guyana, but we try. We have a really good coach, one coach, actually, one elite coach for the whole country, so it's good. We all have to share him.
Jessica Turnbull is from Brisbane, Australia. She's 16, and this is her first time at this event. Turnbull says everyone's friendly, but facing top players can be intimidating.
It's scary. It's exciting. It's amazing. It's embarrassing sometimes. Just when, you know, you do something really stupid against someone really good, and you just feel, oh, my God, what did you just do? And oh, it's like, and you're just feeling so embarrassed, and you're embarrassed for the rest of the tournament. It's just like, oh, no.
Although the United States has the second seed in both the individual and team brackets, it's not typically a squash powerhouse. In fact, the U.S. is a growth market for the sport. U.S. Squash Communications Director Bill Buckingham says the emergence of top American teens like Amanda Sobey and Olivia Blatchford coincides with dramatic changes at the junior level.
Our high school championships started out with 15 teams 6 years ago. For the last 3 years, it's been the largest squash tournament in the world, capping off at 125 teams this year. The growth in scholastic squash has been great. The growth in collegiate squash has been incredible.
After 4 days of matches, the field was whittled down to the four semifinalists. England's Emily Whitlock, Amanda Sobey for the U.S., and Egyptian teammates Nour El Tayeb and Nour El Shabini. While most of the earlier matches have been played on regular courts, the semifinals shift to one with all glass walls. When a player hits a full force shot, it sounds like a bird hitting a plate glass window. In the end, the two Nours advanced to Monday night's individual final. Nour El Shabini won this tournament in 2009 at the age of 13, beating the same opponent she'll face tonight, her teammate Nour El Tayeb. El Tayeb is ranked 18th in the world and has been the runner-up for the past 2 years. This time around, El Tayeb is victorious, beating El Shabini in 4 games. El Tayeb says it's tough to face a teammate and friend in a high-pressure match.
She's been the world champion before. She has nothing to lose. She plays with no pressure. And it's hard, you know. I want her to win, but of course I want me to win as well. But it was hard all the way, and I'm happy. I'm really happy I won.
Egyptian women have 4 of the last 7 junior team titles, and now 5 of the past 6 individual crowns. After winning major points during the final match, the 18-year-old El Tayeb delivered an exclamation American sports fans are used to hearing.
I always yell yes.
Wherever you are,
yeah,
you
wherever,
yell yes.
Wherever I am.
And the individual awards ceremony concluded with something squash fans around the world are getting used to hearing, the Egyptian national anthem. For Only a Game, I'm Doug Tribou.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Tribou. Our technical director is John Parati. Our intern is Allison Gluck. We had help this week from Andrew Croucher at WXXI in Rochester, New York. Special thanks this week to Paul Vitkus. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Doug Tribou's squash photo gallery or learn more about this week's music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. Our final word comes from U.S. squash team member Olivia Fichter, who cites one of the major benefits of playing the sport.
I love my, like, junk food and stuff, and it's just awesome. I can go, you know, have fun playing it and also still work off all my snacks.
Well, it's a good thing Olivia's into squash and not, say, baseball or sumo wrestling. Athletes in those sports never work off their snacks. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. No, I'm not trying to fool you. It'll either kill or kill you. It's squash.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR.